Welcome to Dispatch in Depth, where we give you the stories behind the science of emergency dispatch. This is an official podcast of the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch, the world's leading authority in dispatch science. I'm your host, Becca Barris, writer and copy editor for the Journal of Emergency Dispatch. In each episode, we'll be bringing you stories of the fascinating people who work in this area. We'll give you their backstory, including how they got there, what they're working on, and what drew them to the field. These are people who represent the cutting edge in emergency dispatch, and I hope you'll join us to hear more about them. Welcome to Dispatch in Depth. Today's topic is dealing with suicide calls, whether from the callers themselves or from people reporting the aftermath. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States, and death rates in rural communities are higher than in metropolitan or urban areas. Joining us today is Adrian Miller, a QA/QI and ETC instructor for Ford County 911 Communications. Welcome, Adrian.
Hi.
We're so glad to have you on the podcast today. So before we get started talking about today's subject, I just wanted to chat with you about how you got involved in emergency response.
I started in 94 when my dad used a local paging service because he gave anesthesia, and I used to take an interest in going with him, and the director was in charge of dispatch and asked me if I'd be interested in coming to apply, and that's how I got started.
That's awesome. So you've been with Ford County 911 for a while now. Could you describe the area you serve, the population, call volume, the kinds of calls you get most frequently?
Yeah, Ford County has about 34,000, and in Dodge City, we have close to 30,000. So the counties, including small outlying areas as well. So we have just under 30,000 in Dodge City, but we serve all of Ford County.
And do you dispatch for police, fire, medical, one of those, some of those, all of those?
We're combined dispatch, so we do serve Dodge City Police Department, Ford County Sheriff's Office, Dodge City Fire Department, and Ford County EMS.
So in the dispatch center itself, how many dispatchers are on duty at a time, and what do your shifts look like?
We have the dispatch floor that accommodates six consoles. We only have two dispatchers on duty at a time, and we work 12-hour shifts.
And are both of those dispatchers taking calls and dispatching calls, or does one do call taking, one does dispatching?
We do it all. We call take and dispatch both.
Okay. So the topic of the episode today is suicide calls, particularly in relation to how they're handled in rural areas. Do you mind telling us about the call that really brought this subject close to you?
Yes, I was friends with one of the officers that I had dispatched with for almost 2 years. So we became fairly close friends during that time. And I got to meet her kids and watch them grow up as well. And she would always call on the non-emergency line when she became an officer, and she called one night and had said they got home and her son Malachi had taken his own life with her gun, with her duty weapon.
I can't imagine how hard that must have been for you and for her. And how did that change things for you? When we were talking before, you mentioned that you get probably two or three suicide calls a week in your center, which is extremely high for any center, but especially in rural areas where your call volume isn't very high anyway. What about that call made it so personal, and did it inspire any change in your life?
It really hit home for me because I knew not only her, but her kids as well. And just hearing her voice from when I answered the phone to what she told me had happened, it absolutely just took the wind right out of my sails. I couldn't believe what I was hearing just because I knew him, and that made it that much worse. So I was concerned for her first while I got other officers down there and kept her on the phone and wanted to make sure not only had she not gone in, that her other two kids hadn't gone in and had to see their brother. So I wanted to make sure they were safe and outside and that she had some of the officers there with her before I hung up the phone. And I will still tear up to this day just hearing the just raw emotion in her and I've never heard her talk like that. In 3 years I had known her when this happened. I hope I don't hear that from anybody again. It brings it back up again. She's the strongest woman I know. I don't know how she kept going and put one foot in front of the other. It made everything change for me. I took just a moment once I disconnected to kind of get myself back together and finish out my shift. So that was absolutely hard. But I wasn't able to be there with her, and I knew I had to shift to finish and literally had to go to the next call right after that.
One of the hardest things about being an emergency dispatcher, especially in situations like this, and especially in a small center, is that you don't get to take that time off after a hard call like this. You don't get to step away from the console and take 5-10 minutes. You're right. You have to go to the next call.
Yeah, absolutely. And right after that, I went home and took some time to kind of just be alone and wonder how she was doing. And it absolutely changed everything for me as far as suicide calls, because that's the first time that it absolutely packed the punch that it did with me, because then it happened to somebody that I knew and I knew well and was a friend.
Right. And in situations like these with suicide calls, you can't always help the patient. Sometimes it's about helping the caller, and it's about addressing that need at that time.
Absolutely, because it is different if we get a call from somebody that feels like they want to take their own life or harm themselves. You absolutely approach that from a different direction than if you're talking to somebody who has just found their family member deceased and it's too late to help that person. And at that point, then you are dealing with the family that's left behind. So it absolutely is two different ways to handle one call.
Exactly. And what kind of resources exist in your community, exist in Ford County, to help people who are either feeling suicidal or have had a loved one take their own life?
If there's somebody that has just threatened suicide or is called by a friend, or we're able to make contact with them and get them help, we have mental health agency that does have on-call personnel that we take them to the police department and they'll do an evaluation for them. And if anything needs to be done further for them, we have facilities close by in town about an hour from us that do have inpatient treatment. So they do have resources for that. And we do have social workers as well and people that are able and available to talk to them. So we're fortunate that we do have on-call people 24 hours a day.
And what resources exist for the emergency dispatchers who take these kinds of calls? Because as we said, it can be as traumatic for you taking the call and dispatching the response as it is for the family members in some cases.
Absolutely, because the helplessness for us, because we're not on scene, we're the voice on the phone. And we are fortunate that we have a social worker that's also a therapist that's available to us. And we make contact with our director or our deputy director. They absolutely will get that just as soon as possible for us. At any time we're available to go, they make time for us. And we can talk also to the EMS director, and they have critical incident stress debriefings for us as well that are available, that if there's something that happens, the EMS crew that went, the officers that responded, and the dispatchers that were involved with the call directly, we'll also meet as a small group and be able to share that with each other besides the option to go one-on-one and talk. So it absolutely is a godsend for us to have that available, to have somebody to talk to.
Yeah, because I imagine in situations like that, it's much better to have lots and lots of resources than it is to not have very many, or not to know where to start to look, right? Because if you go to the social worker, if you go to the EMS director, and they
can only help you so much. I imagine that they also have other recommendations, other paths that they can send you on so that you aren't just sitting alone with this helplessness, like you said, with this heaviness.
And my boss also, when we have the opportunity to have somebody come relieve us, they've done that as well. So almost a year to the day after I took the call with Malachi, I took another call that a 14-year-old girl had taken her own life. And that's when it absolutely was hard because I didn't get the chance to really have that closure and have some help to, you know, where I didn't talk to anybody before. I thought I could just keep going and I would deal with it myself. I did finally talk to somebody after that second suicide because that's what it took. Just, you don't realize how hard the first one was until there's another one, and then suddenly it brings them both to the surface and right up front. So had I had it to do over again, I absolutely would have talked to somebody immediately.
A lot of the dispatchers I've talked to have such a can-do attitude, such an attitude of, I'm going to get this done, I'm going to keep my head down, and I can handle this, I'm strong, I'm tough.
Yeah.
And it's so admirable and it's so needed for this job. But in order to be able to carry on, in order to be able to take the next call, the next suicide call, you have to talk to someone. You have to be able to process that trauma at least a little bit, as much as you possibly can.
You're exactly right. And I'm the absolute, I can do this. I've got this. I've got to be strong. I'm going to keep going. And that's exactly what I did. And it wasn't Malachi's suicide that had me talk to somebody immediately. It was, like I said, the one a year later, because all of a sudden the two together was like a floodgate opening. And it made me feel weak. It made me feel suddenly vulnerable when I never felt that way before. But I'm glad it happened because everybody needs somebody to talk to. It's important for everybody. You need that sounding board, and that's what keeps us going. We can keep going and be strong because we have that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this subject on the podcast, was because, yes, it is very heavy. It is very upsetting. But I think that the more dispatchers who listen to this and realize that they're not alone in feeling like this, the more that they will start to talk to people in their life. And even if the people that they talk to can't fix the problem, even if they can't erase the memory of that traumatic call, there's something about the process of opening up and connection that helps share the weight with someone else. So you're not carrying this huge burden by yourself. You're sharing it and you're able to go a little bit farther than you were before.
Absolutely. Like I said, if I could go back and get that help immediately afterwards, I absolutely would have done it.
So when we talked before, you mentioned that you are a member of a suicide coalition in your community.
Yes.
How did that get started and how did you get involved in it?
My boss actually brought the idea up to me because I felt like I wanted to play a more active role in talking to somebody and trying to help them. And I know it kind of really got a good kickstart several years ago. I think it's still very young, and it's an absolute benefit to the community because it gives all of us an awareness that not only is it still prevalent, it seems so much so because of the small population of Ford County, but because now we're dealing with the age going from high school down to the middle school age, and even some grade school, we've had some younger kids struggle, and we serve everybody. And that's what I love about this. It's not geared towards one age group. It's geared to everybody in the community that might be struggling and know that there are people that want to help, that want to make sure that we get out and be active in the community and let people know we're here. And educating about resources available and that there are people that do care. There are resources that are there to help. And that's what we want to do, to let these kids know, let people struggling know that we're here. And I love that, because it's a good sounding board when we all share ideas. And I like knowing that, you know, these people have, we have people that deal with this a lot as I do, and they deal with it differently. And I like that, because we get to be a sounding board for each other. And I learn things from them that I had no idea. They learn things from me as well. So it's an education, I think, for all of us.
It sounds like a conversation too, where the community is telling you what they think and what their needs are, and then you are educating other people in the community and letting them know that this is something to be aware of, and for people struggling with this feeling, to let them know that they're not alone and that they have resources and they have people in their community that can help them.
Absolutely, and people that care, because I don't want anybody to feel like it's a stigma or an embarrassment to have those feelings. And I think that might be what some people might struggle with, is that the embarrassment would be there, that they don't want anyone to know that they're hurting, that they have these thoughts, because we want them to reach out. I like knowing that I'm a hand to hold on to, so to speak, when they call, that they know I'm there. We have people that have lost spouses and children that are on this coalition, and I can't imagine what they must have gone through. So we learn things about each other, and that helps us when we come up with ideas of ways to reach out.
I like what you said about being a hand to hold in the community, because being able to be a part of this coalition, being able to go into the community and take action, it seems like a way to overcome that helplessness that you feel as a dispatcher sometimes.
Yes. I don't feel so helpless anymore.
Suicide and suicide calls are such a daunting issue. What can other dispatchers do to combat the feeling of helplessness?
While we're on shift, I think the biggest thing, and where we have the opportunity to speak to the paramedics that handled the call, we get to speak to the officers that handled the call, that was a big help, because we have that voice, people that were on scene, and they get to talk to us as well, because we took that call. So we are able to help each other, and we get some sense of closure for the call as well, because I like outcome. I like to know on any call that may have, you know, the seriousness of a bad accident or something that's high priority, that we don't necessarily know what's going to happen when we dispatch the call. I like knowing that we have a good working relationship with the officers and the paramedics and the fire department. They will tell us what happened, and that does help. And we do have each other, and we, my partner and I, talk to each other as well. And that's big, to have that voice in the same room with you, because you have somebody sitting 6 feet from you that handled the same call, that was there. So while they may not have taken the call, they were a part of the call. And that's a huge relief too, that we've got each other to even just to talk about it to us, because if anybody understands what we're going through, it's the person sitting with us. And that's nice. You don't feel like you're alone.
And that is so powerful, to know that you're not alone, that you have all of these people that you can talk to in different aspects of your life. And I think that's really the takeaway of this episode, of this topic, is to just talk to people, just make as many genuine connections as you can. And it won't solve the problem necessarily, but it will help ease your burden somewhat.
It is a relief to know that you have somebody that's in your corner with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today, Adrian. We will have information in the show notes if you would like to learn more about suicide and resources that you can share in your own center. If you have any questions, go ahead and email us at dispatchindepth@emergencydispatch.org. And Adrian, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Dispatch in Depth. Remember, it really helps if you rate and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. Dispatch in Depth is hosted by me, Becca Barris. I'm also the technical director and producer, and Matthew Maiko is the executive producer.